I'm very thankful to the Lord that sort of really not quite by design, but by just how things evolve. Now we have these kind of monthly times. You remember, Jim, we talked after the 2 years lessons on the eldership. What should we do after that? And we weren't quite sure. And we talked about we really need to take the training of the brothers, the leading brothers, to another level by way of more practicality and more direction in how to administer a local church, meaning really how to build up a local church in a more practical way. And so the thought is that we'll go here or go there and go to this region one time and that. And it's a good thought, but I think now my feeling is we're slowly finding our groove here, and that is to have this meeting. This monthly time here, brothers, I think is something of the Lord. And I also feel increasingly this monthly time is most critical. This is where at least where my portion or my help to the churches and to the responsible brothers come in. And much like those 2 years, it's monthly, three sessions monthly. It's almost the same. I can actually see this kind of training going on for several years. And I believe out of this kind of a training, the church's condition will be very different, very improved. So I'm comforted and I'm encouraged. I feel very affirmed inside that this kind of arrangement is the right arrangement. So every month I will come up for this time, and of course while I'm here, we take care of some other businesses too. Like now I'm quite engaged with the church in Fremont. My burden is, I'm not here just to talk. I want to get my hands also dirty, roll up my sleeves, and be in one place and help one church to also build up, to build it up along with all of you. So I'm not just talking about it. I want to also be a doer alongside all of you. We learn together. I hope that, brothers, you would all be... Paul says he was ambitious, but not ambitious in an evil way, in a natural way. He said he was ambitious to please the Lord. Amen. I hope, brothers, you all would have a holy ambition. Amen. To be properly ambitious is very necessary. If not, you are just here kind of tagging along. You're here just to do the minimal. You're here just to kind of give lip service to what we're doing here. And let me tell you, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Even in the world, without an ambition, you won't get anywhere. And you won't get anything done. Right? You know, the world has this word hustle. You know, you better hustle. I find that many times in the church there's no hustle. No spiritual hustle. Just in the job you hustle. When you come to the church, well, it's okay. We just do the routine thing. And therefore, the church in many cases is a failed business. Sorry to say. Many local churches are actually technically failed businesses. He should have closed the door a long time ago, but we cannot close doors because we're the church. But if you look at it from a business point of view, a business standpoint, many churches should close their doors a long time ago. There's no business there. It's just maintenance. You know, like some of these mom and pops, they never make money. They're not even breaking even. They sell some chewing gums. They sell a few sodas. People walking by. There's no advertisement. There's no business plan. No one will invest with them. But they just do it year after year on the roadside. I am sorry. I describe many local churches exactly like that. I mean, if I want some bubble gum and soda, I would probably go to some gas station. They are more. They have more hustle there, you know, to get my stuff. I go to these kind of places. It's just like it's. You don't even want to go in there. There's no life. There's no future. There's nothing. It's just maintaining something. Brothers, maybe I'm too much along this line, but I want to even jar you, shake you up, so that we, brothers, taking the lead in the churches, would adopt a different kind of mindset. And in the end, the blame for the churches in this condition is not that much on the saints. It's on the leaders. The leaders are old, routine, same old thing, treading water, going in circles. Then the church will be like that. You know, for example, I urge you, even in those 2 years training, that the leading brothers should practice every half a year to have a week maybe of planning, to plan for your church for the next half year. Are you doing that? Maybe I should check with you. How many churches, the leading brothers, are doing that? In Irvine, let me tell you, we've been doing that for years. Now, that doesn't mean Irvine is that great, but it does mean Irvine has a direction. You come there, it's not a church bobbing along, just floating in the sea with no direction. It's floating, and it's not sunk, but it's going nowhere. And the wind is blowing. But it's going nowhere. It's bobbing, bobbing, bobbing in the sea. What is your church like, brothers? Are you going anywhere? Where is your ship heading? Or is it just floating? Just floating. So this coming week, I'm not going anywhere when I go home tomorrow. Because next week is planning week for the church in Irvine, and I must be there. We committed a whole week, night after night, the elders meet, and then we have a bigger group of brothers that meet with us, and we even will have one half day on the last day, which is next Saturday, a week from today. We'll meet with the cluster, the churches in our cluster. So we're going to set a plan, we have a schedule, we have goals, we have direction for the next 6 months. Then, brothers, we're going somewhere. Otherwise, what are you doing? Still signing checks? Still making announcement for next week? Still making sure the bathroom is clean? These are not unimportant things. But, brothers, if you just do that, then really there's not much need for elders. You know, just someone makes some arrangement. We can do that. What is the spiritual direction? What are you doing? Where are you heading? What do you want to see in your church a year from now? Do you consider those things? Brothers, you have to consider those things. So I beg you, brothers, I hope with the installation or appointment or whatever arrangement of younger brothers, you will not pick up what the older brothers did before like this. We're thankful for the older brothers, this and that, but you must take a new way, a business-like way. You know, God's economy, the word economy implies business. Am I right? Implies some kind of arrangement, some kind of household arrangement to dispense food. Am I right? That's an economy. It means a plan, a very comprehensive plan to make sure all the folks in that household is fed and all the needs are cared for, and so on and so forth. That's administration. That's economy. So if you translate that even to a local church, the local expression of this universal household, similarly. Now, I hope I'm not here sounds like I'm berating you or I'm playing a broken record, but I will tell you I've been in this business for a long time. I study these things. I myself have been doing this thing. I know the problem. The problem with many local churches is not that you don't have a heart or you're not for the Lord, you don't love the Lord, you're not for the recovery. It's none of the above. It is a listless church, a planless church, a goalless church, a church that is not treated like a business that need to succeed, to become prosperous, to make money. You understand what I mean? For the Lord's interest. And so, without being treated like this, it's just that, what I call that mom and pop thing that is just there. Whether it's a small church or a big church, it doesn't matter. It's a church of 30 people or a church of 300, it's the same thing, the same principle. Now we are, I said already, our church year is academic, following the academic year, because that's just kind of how things work out. And so this is the beginning of a new church year. We have 6 months ahead of us now, actually five. Five. This is August, my brothers. I like to actually ask, what's your plan? Your local church. Tell me, what's your plan? Really, I want to know. If you cannot tell me, that means you don't have one. Why you don't have one? Because nobody did anything. You say it's in my head. Well, you better tell me what's in your head, right? Brothers, no. That's not the way to... Talking about building up the local church, we've got to firstly adopt this kind of mindset. You don't even have this mindset. Building what? Building what? All right. The second thing I want to mention this morning, brothers, and by the way, my burden for these trainings is very specific. It's simply how to build up a local church. It's that plain. That plain. That direct. All right. The second thing I like to say is this. You know, these slaves in the New Testament, especially in the Lord's parables, and he called those slaves... with slaves, he used two adjectives to appraise them. One is they are faithful. But there's another word. They're prudent. These are two different things. All right. Faithful means you're loyal. You are. You're diligent. You are you're faithful. To what is assigned to you. You are not lazy. You are not irresponsible. Right? That's the meaning of being faithful, and that's the first virtue that is needed in a slave, in a serving, responsible person. But there's another word. That word is as important. It's called prudent. Prudent is not just you work hard. In the world, you have two words. Work hard and work smart. Today, if you just work hard, it won't cut it. You need to learn to work smart. Work smart doesn't mean you're shrewd or you're some kind of, in that kind of a way. No. To be prudent means you work on point. you don't waste your time on unnecessary things. Do you follow me? You're not just faithful. Some people are very faithful, but they end up being faithful, wasting their time on many things that are not central. They're not key. They're very faithful, really faithful, but not prudent. The Lord is looking for faithful and prudent slaves. And Brother Lee, let me tell you, I'm here also, here and there, just passing along what I learned from Brother Lee. And I think those are the most valuable things. He said, brothers, learn to work on point. That means work on the strategic things. Work on the key things. Work on the crucial things. And don't spend your time on the things that are not essential, the non-essentials. Now, keeping the hall clean and all this non-essential? Well, they're important. But let me tell you, considering everything, it's non-essential. You know, this hall here, I have a burden to turn this hall into a Starbucks-like hall. I'm going to do something on the outside. I'm going to do something on the inside. I'm going to make this place the most pleasant place to be in the Bay Area. Amen. This will be a model hall. Amen. But is that essential? No. It's important, and I want to make I'm challenged to do something nice, something good, but that is not essential. All right. So I turned all the meeting halls into beautiful halls. You think I will earn a crown for that? Do you see what I'm saying? But then we should have sloppy halls and dirty places? No. No, that's not right either. But you see my point. We have to learn what is essential and what is not so essential. We have to take care of everything. But, brothers, the essential things. Now, this leads me to this training. In this training, we will cover the essential things. But we'll cover some non-essential things as well because they are supportive and they are also necessary. You know, even a flower needs some leaves to dress it up, right? But the flower or the fruit is the essential thing, not those leaves. To build up a local church, right, there are three essential things you have to build up. That is unchanging. All right. Three things you have to build up in the church. Number one, you have to build up the truth. When I say you build up the truth, it means to build up the truth in the saints. That's what I mean. You have to help the saints to know the truth. Because our faith is based on the truth. In fact, everything is based on the truth. Right? And this is why we need to help the saints to know the Word of God. And that's why we need to introduce the saints to the ministry, which is the interpreted Word of God. That is not because, well, local churches, we just do this kind of thing. No. The church is the pillar and base of the truth, the Word of God. See, these are so basic, but we can never graduate from them. I don't care what we are covering in the morning revival, we need to continually build up the saints in the Word, in the truth, in reading of the Word, in the eating of the ministry, in... You see what I'm saying? This is essential. If the saints in your church is not built up in truth, your church is weak. Your church probably cannot handle a hurricane or some storm. because the saints are not built up. They don't know what is up, what is down, what is truth, what is not truth. But this kind of building up is not through a conference, through something. It is through normal, daily, weekly building of the saints, one person at a time, 1 week at a time. And do not despise that kind of a work. This is how you build up a local church. You should, and I need to spend more time ourselves in these things and help the saints in these things. Rather just be happy they show up in the meeting, you're so happy. You count the heads, they're still there. They haven't left yet. No, brothers. No, brothers. Then this burden will translate into some goal and some plan. Right? How to help the saints to read through the Bible. How to help the saints to read these life studies. How, every church may be a little different. That's according to your situation. But you've got to... This is normal. This is normal. All right? You know, now there's a burden to build up the habit of reading the ministry, and even to enhance the distribution of ministry locally, you know, through the books, through many means. That is not just to dress up our hall to have a nice library. No. It is to help the saints one by one, group by group, so that they are people of the truth. Amen. You know, in the Christianity, they don't need that. You just come and warm the pew and listen to some man probably telling you something not even the truth. That's go to church. The recovery is a different kind. The recovery is not Christianity. The recovery, every saint should know the truth, even the smallest sister. Maybe not that deep, not that high, but they need to know the truth. We are people of the truth. Amen. The second thing to build up a local church is that the saints must know life. They must know life, and they must grow in life. They must experience life, which life is Christ, and which life is the Spirit, and which life is God Himself. But, you see, if the saints don't know life, they don't experience life, then forget about everything. You can almost forget about the Lord's recovery. We pay much attention to this matter of life because life is what it's all about. The whole Bible is a book of life. And the whole Christian life is one of experiencing God, Christ, as life. And so this is why even we now have these lessons on life matters. I'll get to that. Okay, you know, this morning I was brought to mind just a simple phrase in the book of Colossians, you know, the epistle, chapter 1, where Paul says, the word of the truth of the gospel have reached to you. It says, bearing fruit and growing. That means a normal church, that church is growing and bearing fruit. That means it is thriving in the divine life. How so? By all the saints being in that experience. Not just by us talking about it, but the saints are all daily living in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, experiencing life and all these kind of things. All right. Number three, a normal built-up church must be built up in the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the unique commission that the resurrected Christ have given, her head has given her. That is our unique commission in the world today, the church of God. A church that is not preaching the gospel or preaching the word, or you know what I mean, not sharing or witnessing for Christ, is an abnormal church. It's just abnormal. This is not optional. These three things are not optional. So now, even I can tell you, how do you build up your church? Build up the church in these three things. Now you say, well, how about ushering? How about signing checks? Well, of course you need to do those things to engage the saints in practical services and this and that. But I remember Brother Lee when he came back from Taiwan with heavy burden on the God-ordained way that all the saints should be a priesthood of the gospel. We should all contact people. He said, go hire landscape people to cut your grass. You go and save souls. That's what I mean. Do you see what is essential and what is non-essential? I know. Since Eldon days, we're very proud that we do our own yard. You know, in the meeting hall, we cut our own grass. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if you just cut grass and you never save a soul, you think cutting grass will win you a crown? Oh, you say, I'm very faithful. I cut the grass very faithfully. Well, bless your heart. I thank the Lord. But I'd rather that you bring in a saved one than cutting some grass. I'd rather the grass looks a little overgrown, but the meeting hall is full of new people.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
Then we'll go cut some grass. And you have a few more people to help you cut the grass. But year after year, your church never grows. The same few people cutting grass. And we, do you know, I just read an article. I told the brothers, all over the South, the churches are dying. These, you know, country churches, these, you know, Southern Baptists or this and that. You know, once upon a time, these places is the community center. The whole town, that's where they know each other and everything happens in that. Today, these churches are all dying. You go to a lot of these country churches, it's just two rows of old ladies still faithful. And some kind of, I don't know what kind of pastor is there with two rows of flock. You know, their flock is two rows. And then before long after they die off, the church just dies and sold and that's it. Dying off, just dying off. Mainline these denomination and little the churches. Brothers, we can do that too. And we have a few churches that die off like that. In the recovery, just not thriving, not growing, not bearing fruit, not producing. Okay, these three things. All right. Then I'm telling you right now, the blueprint that I have always in my back pocket from Brother Lee. It never changed. That's how I build up a local church, by building up these three things. Then I have to build up three other things. Number one, we have to build up the children's work. And I would add to that the young people, right? Or rather, just to follow Brother Lee strictly, he said, number one, the children's work. We have to take care of our own children. Big, big deal. Now, that's strategic. The second thing, he said, the young people. By young people, Brother Lee always meant from junior high all the way through college. That's what Brother Lee called young people. And today we separate into two kinds of work. It's okay. But the point is the young people. The young people. The third is what we call the community. You know, community people. The saints in the community. The people in the community. The grown-ups, the adults. All right? We need to take care of that. So, brothers, here it is. That's it. It couldn't be simpler. But when you get into it, goodness, we need more leading brothers that are full-time. I tell you, to really do these things in a proper way, you need brothers that are spend all their time, if you really mean business. For some brothers, young brothers, you're smart, you all of that. You think you can go do a 80-hour job and then you'll be a good elder? No, it doesn't happen. I'm not saying you should quit your job. I'm not saying, but to have the idea that my job needs 80 hours to be good, the church that just need a few minutes of my time and it'll be okay, you are dreaming. You are, I think you're not right in your mind. Brothers, we need, I'm speaking these things in such a basic way, because I want to start at the bottom. If we don't change in our attitude, in our mindset, I tell you, we can talk all kinds of things, it won't work. So, now, this morning I'd like to spend this first section to re-emphasize this matter of the
brothers have received an email.
Okay. This matter of the what we call this family training, right? That we're carrying on right now, or we can use another term that Brother Lee used. He used the term home education. It's parallel. It's synonymous, right? This is something that Brother Lee has promoted for decades. Even he himself was struggling how to implement it. This way or that way and so on. But regardless, for a moment, how we implement this, the need for this kind of family training or home education as a normal course of things or part of the church life is becoming to me more and more clear, indispensable. Indispensable. It's not optional meaning. And the fact that it has become optional explains why certain churches are weak. And the saints are weak spiritually. So here it has been sent to you, I believe, an outline with some excerpts on this matter. So you don't need to open your device, but you can find it, okay? But I have here this little outline with some excerpts on this subject. Now, we have passed on some various ministry excerpts on the matter already, right, in these last few months as we begin this matter. But today I want to reemphasize this because this is not a small little third meeting, you know? It's optional. We have time, we do it. We don't have time, we don't do it. And that has been our attitude. My brothers, in my learning, even though we have the high peak of the divine revelation, I tell you, the churches need basic home education in life truth, and the gospel. And so let me just go through this, and you just listen to me, and you can go home and look at your own email. I'll tell you, this is the first time I'm even pushing this in the churches, is right here. Doesn't mean I've not done it. Doesn't mean we have not never done this. But in a way to promote it so that it would become a normal part of the church, of our meetings, this is the first time I'm doing it, right now, right now. So I like to see the churches in Northern California become a model in this matter. And I believe people will see. People will see. And I actually like to see this in all the churches. All the churches. You know, in a typical denomination, Sunday morning, they have two things, basically. One is called Sunday school. The other is Sunday worship. Okay? Sunday worship is 11 o'clock to 12. Sunday school is before that. Most people don't go to Sunday school. They just come to Sunday morning worship hour. That's it. All right. Somewhat like this, our Sunday school, the word is called school because it implies education. That is not an inspirational time. That is time to educate the congregation. And so that is our Sunday school. This is our Sunday school. Now, if you don't carry out on Sunday, you'd carry on Tuesday, let's call it Tuesday school. I don't care. The point is, you need a school. But not a school, but a home school. The church is a family. The church is a household. So we're here to educate our own children, our saints. All right? And then the so-called Sunday morning worship is our kind of Lord's table prophesying, more general, you know what I mean? And my hope is that all the saints can benefit from this schooling, from this normal, consistent, continual education like a class with a syllabus like what we're doing. The material that we have, and I say again, what do we teach? What do we educate? Again, these three things: truth, life, and the gospel. And right now, as you know, since we began in May? Is it May? Whenever we began this series, we begin in life matters. We are right now on a life syllabus, okay? And now, there's some scripture reading, and we don't have time for that, from Ephesians 4, about what? About perfecting the saints unto the building up, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. That perfecting is done by this kind of educating, broadly speaking. All right? Now, how we educate, another matter, but the educating, the teaching. The word perfecting, by the way, is a very inclusive word. It means mending, something broken, like a broken net. It means equipping, you know, you need to be furnished or equipped to do a job. It also implies educating. You know, the way you are perfected is you're educated, all right? So it implies teaching. So all these things are part of perfecting the saints. And the saints need to perfect it on a weekly basis, on a constant basis. Then it's a school. You don't go to school once in a while. You go to school every day. Then you become educated. And then in Colossians, it talks about Paul saying what? Teaching every man. Admonishing every man, even warning every man. What was Paul doing there? What was he teaching? Clearly, he was teaching the saints. There it says every man. Here, Paul begins to let you see that this teaching is not just even a congregational teaching. He taught man to man, one-on-one. That's the job of us brothers. You know, I just couldn't believe when I see some brothers with nothing to do, leading brother, elder, with lots of time in their hands to read newspaper, I don't know, doing what? And then once in a while come and check the offering box. And what? What is that? Brothers, no. All our time should be what? Number one, educating ourselves. Ourselves being educated. Laboring in the word, laboring in these things. And secondarily, we need to what? Go and teach the saints. That's the job of a leading brother. Sometimes one-on-one. There are times in home meetings. There are times, of course, like congregationally on Lord's Day with the whole church. And we also do this. You know, we have this thing called Summer School of Truth with the young people. That's education. That's 6 years or six books or whatever it is, educating our young people. And I think today our adults don't get the school of truth. They actually know less than their children. Their children talk about the two spirits, about the God's salvation, about the Bible, about the triune God, about the church, about this. The parents just drive them to the school. They don't know a thing about these things. And that's why the church is weak, because the saints are weak in these matters of truth, life, and the gospel. So, brothers, there's a lot of work if you want to build up your local church. Even if you have 30 saints, it's a lot of work. Paul spent his time just teaching every man so that eventually he could present every man full grown, mature in Christ. That's the apostles' pattern to us to follow. Then in Acts, it says, in Acts 20, there it talks about Paul's way, and in the way he admonished the elders in Ephesus, he said, I have been with you for 3 years, night and day, with tears and what? Going from house to house and sometimes in public places. I cease not teaching you. I mean, God's counsel, am I right? From you, even sometime with tears. That's the way Paul built up the church in Ephesus. Eventually, Ephesus became one of the major churches in Asia Minor, the present-day Turkey. By a man who just for 3 years, just house to house, home group by home group, whatever it is, just teaching them about things of God's economy, about all these spiritual things. That's Paul's pattern. And that should be our job, brothers. Let me tell you, brother, if you can even successfully educate one person, you've done quite a job. It's not easy. To bring one saint or one new one into the true experience of life takes a lot of labor. Or to bring one person into the knowledge of certain truths takes a lot of work. Brothers, don't do the fluffy thing, work. Just fluff. You do a lot of things, but it's all fluff. Learn to do the solid work. The work that lasts. So here, I told you, elders, leading brothers, you need to visit the saints. And that is just the first step, just to visit someone, cherish them, and so on. But eventually, not just generally visit, we need to visit. I'm still burdened that we're not visiting the saints just to say hi, just to see them, just to see their children, cherish the saints in this way. But on top of this, this is more than that. This is to focus on certain ones. Maybe your small group, maybe your neighborhood, maybe certain saints you're burdened for. Maybe they're college age, maybe they are younger, maybe they are working saint, maybe they're older. Whatever it is, you have to pick up the burden for some definite ones and you educate them using the lines that we have. You don't need to create anything. You just take what we have and patiently teach them these things until they get it and until they are in the experience of it. Then 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 2, you all know basic requirement of an elder, of a leading brother, is what? Apt to teach. But that is not a professorial teaching, you know, like an academic. No, it is like mom teaching the children math. They learn it in school, but the mom still have to know enough to help them in the schoolwork, in the home teaching. And today, let me tell you that they teach you a lot of this kind of stuff in school, in these kind of science and humanities. But you know what the school don't teach you? Values. How about human values? They don't teach you that. In fact, they teach you anti-values. Who is going to teach them these things? Tomorrow, I'm going to speak to the sisters. At first, there was an outline. I said, forget about the outlines. I have a burden. I like to talk to the saints, the sisters, about a worthy woman in Proverbs 31, I think so. And there, talk about values. I will talk to the sisters about a minimum of 10 feminine virtues as seen in Proverbs 31. And this need to be taught. This need to be imbued. This need to be infused into our children, into your children, spiritual children. They don't know. They don't know what the church values are. You have to impart them with much patience, again and again and again. So then you have verse 9 that talks about now deacons. Even deacons, brothers who are not elders, you are just serving in a deacon capacity. It says even a deacon have to hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. That means even the deacon should know how to teach these things. In fact, eventually, it should not just be just the leading brothers or responsible brothers. Eventually, many saints should all be apt to teach. And teaching and shepherding are related. Actually, it's two sides of the same coin. Teachers and shepherds. You know that gift, huh? In Ephesians 4. Teachers and shepherds is one category of people. We shepherd people by teaching them. Obviously not teaching, I say again, in a dead way, in an academic way, but in a way of life. And then lastly, and that is, I think it's a wrong verse, you know. Well, no, here it says you have to take heed to yourself. Verse 16, chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Brothers, a great need in the church is teaching, but not teaching like I teach in the summer annual training, okay? Not that kind of teaching. We don't need people going around giving 17-minute messages. No, that's not what you're talking about. I tell every week or every occasion, even you just speak about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but on point, repeatedly, with a burden, with some genuine divine infusion, I tell you, you will start raising up the saints as what? As proper spiritual members and functioning members. So, brothers, I hope that this whole matter of the family training is not dismissed by you like just some add-on, some appendage to the main church things. Did you get it, brothers?
Amen.
So far?
Amen.
Huh? Okay. All right. Now, I'm just going to read through this because it's very, very self-explanatory. Okay, first it says the church is built up by life, the Spirit, and the truth. I mentioned this already. There's no other way to build up the church. We have no rock bands, am I right? We have no soup kitchens. We have no single socials. We have no... We don't have those things. We build up the saints with life, with spirit, with truth. That's the nature of the church and the nature of the Lord's recovery. Number two, we must give the Lord a way to have a recovery full of life and full of knowledge of the truth. It's clear. That's the Lord's recovery. And we bring it all the way down to the local church level. That's where it happens. To help the saints be full of life and full of the knowledge of the truth. And the long-term infusion is the way. Even education today is systematic, grade by grade, level by level. Okay. It is possible for us to reserve 30 minutes in both the prayer meeting and the Lord's table meeting to train the saints in truth. Really say 30 minutes. He didn't even say 40 minutes or 45 minutes. He said 30 minutes. But every week you have that 30 minutes, something happens. Something happens. It depends on the teacher, how capable the teacher is, and how caring that teacher is. I believe, this quote, that the book entitled God's Full Salvation will be useful for a weekly church training. Not bad. That is God's Full Salvation, I think, is Summer School of Truth.
Number one,
brotherly saying, use Summer School of Truth on the saints. Actually, I think that book is more appropriate for adult saints than young people. It's almost a little too deep for the young people. But for the adults, not bad. Not bad if you want to use that book. But the point is, a weekly church training is the point. Weekly church. Okay, another quote. It would be good if we could use the last half hour of the prayer meeting. Brother, this is another suggestion he had. Use the prayer meeting. But you know, today, how many saints come to the prayer meeting? A small percentage. You don't get so many saints. That's why we say Lord's Day is more, you will capture more brothers and sisters. But nevertheless, he did promote this, which could be called a family training. The last hour, half hour of the Lord's table, again, Lord's table, should be devoted, he said, to another training. That means one training at the prayer time and another training on Lord's Day. Oh my goodness, Brother Lee, you're crazy. We're busy enough. You're still lobbing onto us all this training, this teaching, that the saints can take it. Well, you go blame Brother Lee. That's what he said. We can train our family just like mothers who daily read some books to their children. You know, You know, if you have raised children, that children are taught these fundamental values and this and that and all these things, not by some class you gave to your kids. You don't sit your kids down and give them a class. It is at nighttime, you read the book on needing to be honest. Am I right? And then you read a story, then you tell Joey, you know, learn to be honest, okay? Don't lie. This and that. Then you keep speaking every night after night. And then Joey will get this into his head to be honest. And when Joey lies, he will feel bad. And when he's dishonest, he will remember your word. Do you see my point? That's home teaching. That's home. It's incessant. So, through this kind of training, most of the saints would be filled with the knowledge of the truth. Okay, when they need to talk to people about the gospel, they will have the utterance, the expression, and the material. When the need comes, they will be able to teach the truth to the saved ones. When the time comes, they will also be able to minister life to the seeking Christians who do not meet with us. You know, a saint who have been through this kind of training, I don't mean semi-annual in Anaheim. I'm talking about these kind of basic training in life and truth. They're different. They have the experience, and they have the knowledge. When they speak, they have content. And when the saints can do this, they are actually doing their ministry for the building up of the body.
Amen.
But otherwise, they're empty. They have no content. They have no experience of life. And so your church is not built up. It's just people, just bodies. There's no building up, no producing of functioning, useful members who know life and truth, which is our goods, you know. The recovery goods is life and truth. Okay, then it will be easy for the church to encourage the saints to preach the gospel, teach the truth, or minister life. This will be the living testimony of the Lord Jesus. This is what is on the Lord's heart for his up-to-date recovery. I would say this is an up-to-date practice. And you say it's hard, we don't know. Just do it, brothers, okay? Just do it. Just practice, and we will get into the groove, and we will learn.
Amen.
What's good, what's bad, what works, what doesn't work. The main thing is we have to have this vision, and we have to have this burden. Then it says, another big point, the church must help the saints to experience Christ, partake of Christ, and share Christ with one another. So this is more on the life side. The church needs to nourish the saints, and the saints need to be nourished by learning to take Christ and by practicing all the things we have learned. Now, I like to emphasize this word, practice. The main thing in these lessons, number one, is to impart certain knowledge. Knowledge of the truth, even knowledge of life. See, if you don't tell this new one, you have three parts. If they don't have this knowledge, they don't even know they have a spirit. So they need certain, even for life experience, they need some knowledge first. This next month, we're going to cover a most wonderful, wonderful matter, and I will cover this in the second session, on the anointing. Oh, this is like sweet. This is like tops. We're going to cover this in next month. Well, if you don't teach the saints something about the anointing, then they don't know the anointing. They don't know how to experience the anointing. So you must give people the teaching. As a rule, the church should not give people much teaching. Rather, the church must give adequate instruction concerning the experience of Christ. Brotherly meant by that is just mere dead teaching, doctrinal things. He doesn't mean don't teach. It depends what kind of teaching and how you teach. But he certainly did use the word instruction. Instruction. Many of us don't know how to instruct. We can even teach, but we don't know how to instruct. It's a big difference. If you just know how to teach, you're just a good teacher. a good speaker, logical and, you know, eloquent, all of that. But to instruct is something further. That is not just teach you. It is to what? It is to advise. It is to what? What is instruct? To give direction on how to experience these things, or how to apply these things, or how to practice these things. So then after giving instruction, the church should help the saints to practice what they have been taught. Practice. Because the messages, teaching, doctrine, and knowledge are not adequate. I like to emphasize this matter of practice. In order to put this into practice, we need to have teaching meetings to fellowship with one another according to the instruction we have received. We talk about this. Why not bring what you learn on Lord's Day to the home meeting? And these are excellent material, not too deep, but neither too shallow. And they always kind of right on point to even for old saints, young saints, like we all need this. We all can be refreshed by it. I tell you, if you can really get into the anointing in your small group for a couple of months, let me tell you, your small group will be quite different. Okay, not just rely on Lord's Day, just one meeting, teaching something, and then wait till next week, give another. No, during the week, you find different ways, by one-on-one or by home meetings or small group meeting, to really make sure this thing really is followed through. This thing really sink in, and brotherly talk about this. Now, give some example. Someone may ask a brother, do you realize that we have to exercise our spirit to contact Christ, walk in the spirit, and take Christ as our life in a practical way? I found, let me tell you this, by the way, let me give you a little secret. I found the best home meetings that I've been in my home, we have been had for decades, we have home meetings. The best way to have a lively home meetings is by question and answer. Absolutely the case. It just stirs up the interest. It stirs up the kind of a seeking. And stir up and practicing mutuality. So you're not that the pastor, the Bible answer man, the know-it-all. You're the man, in the chairman in the meeting. No. You're just one of the brothers, but you have the skill to ask the question and then to answer them and then to stir up others to answer it. And by that, you engender a lot of rich fellowship. Yes. Amen. And it is in that people learn. Amen. People learn, not just from the pulpit, so, from the speaker, but learn in a group setting from one another. In fact, it is through that kind of fellowship you begin to testify. And you begin to learn to apply things and not just regurgitate some truth points, huh? Okay, this should not be a testimony about what happened 20 years ago. It should be a testimony of a brother's recent experience. Moreover, it should be something real, not mere knowledge. Simply to repeat the points of a message means nothing. So ultimately, all these lessons have to get down to the level of application, of practice, and of experience. Brothers, it's in these nitty-gritty work that we build up a local church. Amen. We build up the saints in this way. See, to help the brothers and sisters, I'm almost done, to go on in a practical way requires that we have the real experience. Now, this is important. Brothers, we need, in order to really help the saints in these family education, the key is in the brothers, us brothers. Number one, we have to have a deep burden for this matter. You cannot do this, brothers, in a what? In a, what do you call it? perfunctory. Because the churches are doing this, we might as well do it, you know, otherwise we're out of the flow. Don't do that. It's not about the flow. It's about you acquire a burden for the saints in your church. You have such a burden. You pray for this. You really pray for this. Even daily, when you're with the Lord, you pray for the saints. Experience of life. You pray for the saints' knowledge of the truth. You pray for the saints' growth. You pray for them. Then, I tell you, that burden will enliven the teaching. That burden will give what? Impact to the teaching. Number two, you have to labor in the word. You know, the anointing, if you don't spend some time yourself to get know what is the anointing from the word, from the ministry, you just, what do you say? You have nothing to teach. Your teaching will be very dry or very shallow. You'll be uninteresting. You need to be full of the word, okay? In your labor. Okay. Then the third thing I would say is you have to have an eye on the saints so that whether they sat there or not, but whether they got it or not, by follow through. By follow through. Okay. You say, so-and-so, you know, good conversation with a saint is so-and-so, brother, last week we touched the matter of the anointing on Lord's Day. What do you think? See, this is a good way to stir up a conversation. And from his or her answer, you realize he didn't get it. Or he got it wrong or whatever. Then don't condemn. This is teaching now. Then you follow up with what is taught by some personal, I call it tutoring, spiritual tutoring, right? You know, this is how you do it. It's like teaching someone to speak Spanish, right? I'm promoting we need to all learn Spanish. Okay. I can go to the class and blah, 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 blah. Then a tutor would come and adjust my accent. They will tell you, the Mexicans say it this way, but in South America they don't say it this way, and we say it this way. The inflection is like this. Okay, try it. You say this word. Do you see what I mean? This is instructing. This is following through. This is making sure they got it. But we're not just talking about learning Spanish. We're talking about learning to abide in the anointing. Oh, my goodness, that is much harder. Oh, you have to tell them that is not the anointing. Let me tell you, what is the anointing? This is the anointing. Oh. You say, oh, I don't want to do that kind of work. Just tell me what announcement to give and give me the checks to sign. I'll be very faithful to do that. Brothers, no wonder your church is never built up. All the checks are signed, but the church is not built up. Okay. In order to teach the saints properly, it's 10-10-10, we need ourselves the experience. I told you the story. I still want to tell you the story. There's this brother in the early days in Eldon, when we have these kind of classes in Eldon. And let me tell you, I got much help as a sophomore in college when I came into the church life by these kind of weekly, what they call new believers meeting. I wasn't a new believer, but oh my goodness, I never heard these things in such a systematic way. So for months, we were on dealing with the world, my goodness, this is not just teaching. This is all of us have to cross the Red Sea, the whole church into the wilderness. It's that kind of a thing. It's not just talking about it. We pass through the Red Sea together. Well, and covering that matter is the whole matter of not loving the world. One of the main things is love not the world, right? We even have a book on with that name. And so this brother is still alive, but he left the recovery. But still, in those days, he was an elder then, elder then, Eldon. And I still remember he was speaking with so much burden on not loving the world. He's not just telling us, don't love the world, you know, the world is not lovable. No, I tell you, he was so, and at one point, he talked about not loving anything. Anything can become an idol, you know. We just have to love God, whatever. And he took off his watch. He has a brand new wristwatch. I don't know what brand it is, but anyway, nice. And he was speaking how that watch was given to him on his birthday from his dear wife. A present from his wife, birthday present. Then he was talking about how even that watch could replace God in his heart. That watch. And at one point when we were speaking, he just threw the watch away, just tossed it. To this day, I still remember that. I was like shocked. But my point is not tossing the watch on. My point, brothers, is there is the reality of dealing with the world with this speaking brother. It's not a teaching. Just teaching you not love the world doesn't work. It takes a person who really does not love the world to have an impact on the hearers. And so, brothers, we need to have some experience, a lot of experience in these things. Then we can tell the saints with impact. You follow me, brothers? This requires a lot of us, a lot of us or from us, but brothers, this is the way to build up the church. When we say that we need to deal with our conscience, we went through that the last 2 months. The church must immediately help the saints to put this instruction into practice. And everyone should practice dealing with his conscience. Everybody that you meet is dealing with the conscience. That's what happened in Eldon. Then we may ask a brother to give a testimony of dealing with his conscience. This is the proper way. Testimonies, experiences, always is the gateway for others. Not just teaching one another again, but the experience is what help others. We have said that the inner anointing, now we come to anointing, is heavenly, spiritual, divine painting through this strange language. We receive the instruction, however I'm concerned, that even after 5 months, not many of us have practiced the inner anointing. This is another example of how the leading ones need to experience to take the right way. I hope the church will take this way. Brother Lee actually told us many times what to do. We just didn't do it. It just showed up in a book. But we didn't do it. We just didn't do it. We prefer just to do the routine things. What the church needs today is the real practice. If by the Lord's grace we take this way, then week after week and month after month, the saints will grow in life. Amen. I expect if we work this way, labor this way, brothers, by next summertime, 1 year into these lessons, there should be a growth in life in all the saints. Amen. There should be. It would be a miracle if there's no growth. We can tell the Lord, Lord, we planted, we watered, but you didn't make them grow. You could blame the Lord. But we didn't sow, we didn't water. We just expect it magically to grow. It will not happen this way. Get out of this kind of miracle mind. Nothing can replace labor, spiritual labor on the dear saints. All right? Please go back and you open your email and find this outline and find some wonderful excerpt on from which this outline comes. Brothers, I'd like to encourage you to do this. And I want you to not think you cannot do it. I want to encourage you, just try.
Amen.
You know, take the step and practice and learn. You will fail. You will find you are not adequate. But don't give up. Keep doing it. Now also, we don't necessarily need to be so democratic. Every brother have to speak on Lord's Day. No. Some brothers are not good in that kind of speaking, so they don't need to speak. It'll kill them, you know. But some other brothers, they have that gift. They have that portion. Let them speak. So we're not practicing democracy. But we surely need some brothers who will take the strong lead in this matter in the church life. They would champion this. They would be the bear the most burden in the church in this matter. Then we all follow, right? Now, this is not the only line in the church life, but I will tell you, this should be a very important, constant line in the church. Okay? What time? Am I good with time?
You're good with time.
Very good with time, right? Well, let me say this one more thing. I'll sit down. So yesterday we were praying. Some brothers were praying. And in Deuteronomy and in Joshua, a couple of places in Joshua, it says repeatedly, Jehovah said repeatedly, He said, I have given you this land. In fact, in Deuteronomy, the land is from the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to Euphrates. That's the original good land, including the present-day Iraq. Today, Palestine is just this little strip. That's not all of the good land. When the Lord comes, the whole thing to Euphrates will belong to Israel. All right? Now, what's my point here? My point, brothers, is on the Lord's word. So here, let me just read one verse to you, and that is verse 3, chapter 1, Joshua. Well, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay? Now, then arise and cross over this Jordan, you and all your people, speaking to, obviously, Joshua, into the land which I am giving to them. I'm giving this land to the children of Israel. Then verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you as I promised Moses. Question. Is the land theirs? I say no. I say no. I say the land is promised to them. But it's not theirs in actuality. They're still on this side of Jordan. The land is promised. For sure. They will inherit it. They will possess it. But it's not theirs. So Jehovah said, I am giving to you, almost in a kind of a continuous tense. Then he said, he makes it practical. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you. That means, very simply, if you have not set foot there, its promise is still not yours. You cannot claim possession until you tread those inches and those foot and those yards and those miles. Until you tread that, then I have given it to you. Okay, here's the footnote. Here's the footnote. Let me read it to you. On the one hand, God had given Israel the good land. On the other hand, Israel still needed to take the land by rising up to fulfill God's commission. In order for God to regain the earth from the usurping hand of Satan, which this land is a type, God's people needed to be in full cooperation and coordination with God, as in the principle of incarnation. They needed to sacrifice themselves, deny themselves, give up their own interests and preference in all things, put their full trust in the moving and operating God, and risk their lives for the carrying out of God's economy. Simply put, the land, though promised, will not fall under their practical ownership until they rise up and start what? Treading. That treading including fighting. Am I right? Firstly, it's Jericho, and then this and that. And they have to dispossess those tribes, in those pagan tribes in Canaan, war by war, battle by battle, step by step. And wherever they tread, that land is theirs. Now, I like to apply this in a very simple way, brothers. And that word is practice. Brothers, the land, all the good things in God's economy has been promised to us, right? Even life, truth, gospel, all these things are ours. But brothers, if we don't rise up, someone would not rise up to fight, to tread, to dispossess, that land is still not ours. It's ours in name, ours on paper, but not ours in experience. I like to challenge you, brothers, as a new cast of brothers in Northern California in the local churches, rise up. Rise up and cross the Jordan, and step by step, mile by mile, fight. Put your foot down and possess this land. So this whole matter of family teaching, likewise. Don't say, I don't know how to do it, oh, this and that. You just take a foot at a time. That's how I know how to work. You know, a lot of things I do, no one teach me, no one taught me. Brother Lee never sit me down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He gave principles. But when I get into the field, I have to, you know, tread and fight and then whatever I need to do. And amazingly, every step I take, I earn the experience. Then I take the next step, I earn further experience. Then I take the next step, I earn, and I started to possess the land. And today, after so many years, I possess quite a bit of land, not by just sitting there and claiming it, but by my actual doing it. Brothers, I ask you to do it. You will not succeed the first time, and that's okay. If you have the burden, if you have the labor, if you have what? The prayer and the exercise, which is all these other battles and all the fights on behalf of the saints, I tell you, you will lead your church into the good land. Amen. The saints will follow you into the good land. That is to possess Christ in so many different ways. In life, in truth, in gospel. All these are just aspects of Christ. Am I right?
Amen.
Brothers, will you do this?
Amen.
Otherwise, this training is just talk. I'm just here talking. Once a month, I come up here and give you a good talk. Brothers, this is, my talk is not important. The important thing is your doing. I hope every church in Northern California would really, really, brothers, be built up in a solid way.
Amen.
Not magically, but solidly by our labor. Okay? I think it is a good time now even to have some prayer. We'll pray for a few minutes until 10:30 and we can break for half an hour. Okay, let's just two by two or three really pray for this, brothers.